Blessing, a spiritual word, makes one think of holy, sacred, a word we want to wrap around us. The readings from the first chapters of Luke this morning include blessing of four spiritual elders. They're included in the narrative of Jesus' birth. Four people of God who blessed and were blessed by the birth of Jesus. Looking at those four individuals gives us opportunity to acknowledge and to bless our own spiritual elders, our own Annas and Simeons, our own Elizabeths and Zacharias, who are here at Church of Our Lord in abundance. I am using the term spiritual elders to describe wise people who know God, those who have led us, taught us, mentored us, loved us by example and sometimes by words. Spiritual elders who have blessed us and blessed this church. We want to honor you, our spiritual elders today. We want to bless you. In our current society, it's easy to think that because someone can't climb a ladder to clean gutters anymore, they can't help us clean up our lives. Or because someone can't drive a car anymore, that they have nowhere to go. Follow some of our spiritual elders and see where they're going. Or because they're hard of hearing, they're hard of understanding. Spend some time with them, and you will learn that they understand a great deal about the stuff of life. Our spiritual elders have had a lifetime of successes, of failures, of learning and unlearning, of joyous celebration and of heartbreak, of passionate love and of crushing rejection, and an awful lot of starting agains. Talk with one of our spiritual elders over coffee. Ask them when they first realized they wanted God in their life. Then ask them why they're keeping God in their life. And ask them if they have any advice for you. A quote, "Consider the advice of your elders, not because they're always right, but because of the wisdom they have gleaned from being wrong." Oh, the things I would change if I knew then what I know now. But I needed then to know now. When we're talking about blessing, what are we talking about? Well, we're talking about something that is big, abundant, glorious, that has God written all over it. God is good, and so blessing exudes the fragrance of and the abundance of goodness that comes from the very essence of God himself. Blessing is an action of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember how many times Holy Spirit was read in those readings? Action of the Holy Spirit upon that person we are blessing. When we bless someone, we are affirming that God is saying to them, "I see you. I know you. You are precious and honored in my sight." Well, if that is a taste of what blessing is, where do we see blessing in the birth narrative of Jesus? Well, we see blessing when Angel Gabriel told Zechariah that Elizabeth would conceive, way past any conception possibility. She would conceive and give birth to a son who would be filled with the Holy Spirit. We see blessing when the Holy Spirit comes upon Mary and she conceives the Son of God. We see God's Spirit coming upon Anna and Simeon in the temple when they bless baby Jesus. In each of these situations, in each of these blessing situations, God leaves holy fingerprints, evidence of holy presence. Just as if you look around, you will see God's fingerprints all over you, all over our own Annas our own Simeons, our own Elizabeths, our own Zacharias, here at Church of Our Lord. Yes, you, fingerprints. So when we bless someone, we are announcing that the Holy Spirit is upon and within them. Blessing is also about seeing beyond what is. Seeing the one being blessed as God sees them. In Luke chapter 1, we read, "Moved by the Spirit, Simeon went into the temple courts, and what did Simeon see? What was he holding? Well, he was holding a baby. Yes, a real live baby. But he was seeing so much more. He saw God's salvation, a light of revelation of God, of glory for God's people. He was seeing beyond the baby Jesus in his arms, into what was to come. Later in Luke, we read, when Mary embraced Elizabeth, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she burst into exclamations of blessing. What was Elizabeth embracing? Well, her young relative, Mary, pregnant. Yes, two women sharing their joy in their unexpected pregnancies. But Elizabeth was seeing so much more. She was seeing beyond pregnancy into who Mary was, into who Mary's baby was. And as the Holy Spirit came upon Elizabeth, she proclaimed, "Blessed are you, Mary, among women. Blessed is the child you bear. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Faith in the beyond. Still later in Luke, when Zechariah was rejoicing in the birth of his son John, he launches into blessing his newborn son, naming him Prophet of the Most High, one who will go before the Lord preparing the way. Zechariah's blessing was seen beyond his son's infancy into John's calling as Prophet of the Most High. These gospel stories are exceptional, but the invitation is the same for us, even without an angel visitation. That invitation is for us to see in others what God sees in them, to bless them in the present into the possibility of what might be for them. Oh, Spirit of God, open our eyes to see one another as you see them, to see beyond as we bless one another. So blessing is seen beyond, seen as God sees, knowing that our blessings are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now there's one more aspect for us to reflect on as we consider blessing. Do you remember Jesus' teaching on the Beatitudes about those who are blessed? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Well, that's a kind of holy poverty, isn't it? Blessed are those who mourn. Well, it's about loss, about brokenness, about suffering, even death, isn't it? Blessed are the merciful, implying the need to extend mercy in situations that require mercy. And blessed are the peacemakers, implies standing in the center of conflict, doesn't it? Do the Beatitudes sound like what you think of when you hear the word bless, or when you pray blessing on someone? So what do we need to add to our understanding of blessing? Jesus' teaching makes blessing rather ambiguous, doesn't it? On the one hand, we have big, abundant, glorious concept of blessing, and on the other hand, let's go back to Simeon's blessing of Mary. Simeon concludes his blessing by looking at Mary and saying, "And a sword will pierce your own soul." We know about the sword that pierced Mary's heart. We know some of the swords that have and are piercing your heart. And Mary was blessed. Or what about John's blessing? A prophet of the Most High. Sounds glorious, doesn't it? Oh, but after decades of the stigma of childlessness, Elizabeth and Zechariah give birth to a son who grew up, then lived in the desert, eating grasshoppers and honey, preaching fiery sermons of repentance. Imagine a son like that. He was addressing the people who were coming out to the desert. "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath." Now imagine if Rob were to get up in the pulpit next week and preach that to us. But their blessed son, John, was beheaded. John was blessed. Elizabeth and Zechariah were blessed. How do we make sense of the hard bits of life? How do we live honest enough, courageous enough to live the whole spectrum of our lives, the good, the bad, the ugly, the beautiful, without losing faith in a God we thought might keep us from hurt and pain and trouble? How? By living out of a blessing mindset. A mindset that somehow understands that both glory and scars reflect God's blessing in our lives. Even blessed Jesus carried the scars of his earthly human experience in his resurrection body. Ask Thomas about those scars on Jesus' body. Those scars are part of the glory of Jesus. That's the ambiguity of blessing. Are you familiar with kintsugi pottery? It's a traditional pottery repair method. When something really valuable, really loved, really precious breaks, the potter takes and glues the pieces back together and then fills the seams with gold. And the resulting piece of pottery is more valuable, more beautiful than the original. Was Mary's pierced heart less beautiful than her unpierced, broken, unbroken heart? No. Is Jesus' pierced body less whole than before it was pierced and broken and killed? No. Do our cracks, our brokenness, our piercings, our losses diminish our value or our glory? No. They simply add to our value and our glory because we have been rescued and blessed by Jesus himself. We will know not only the power of his resurrection, but also the fellowship of sharing in his suffering in our broken world. Our own Annas, Simeons, Elizabeths, Zecharias have trusted and believed and experienced God's presence through the whole of their lives. Not just in the wonderful, not just in the joyful, but in those broken and cracked places as well, where gold has and is being added, adding to their value and their glory. Dear spiritual elders, whether you have been a godly presence, a faithful follower of Jesus for decades, or whether you realized only in the last year that you need Jesus in your life, we are grateful for you. Whether your life in Christ has been in private or whether your life in Christ has been visible in public, we honor you. Whether your life has been easy and straightforward or whether your journey has led you through the valleys of the shadow of death or to the mountain heights, we value you. Whether your journey has been a confident striding of belief or whether your journey has been a stumbling in and out between faith and doubt, we walk alongside you. This morning, we want to bless you and thank you for keeping the faith. And by the way, your gold-filled cracks are catching the light of Christ in this place this morning. We are blessed because of you, and may you be blessed as we bless you. Just want us to take a quiet moment to think about those in our lives who have blessed us. Who has picked up the pieces and glued you back together? And we're going to ask Pastor Rob now to come and pray a blessing on our Annas, our Simeons, our Elizabeths, our Zacharias, here at Church of Our Lord.
Lord our God, you have given our faithful Elizabeths and Simeons, our Annas and Zacharias here at Church of Our Lord, the grace to maintain their hope in you through all life's changes and to taste and see your goodness. We bless you for the gifts you have showered on them for so many years. We ask that they may find joy in a renewed strength of spirit, that they may have good health, and that they may inspire us by the example of the many ways they continue to be faithful to you. Lord God Almighty, bless these your servants, to whom you have given a long life. Let them be aware of your nearness, so that when they worry about things unfinished, past failings, broken relationships, they will rejoice in your mercy and in your presence with them. And when they think of the future, they will faithfully rely on you as their hope and their way going forward. And now may God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit bless you, Annas and Simeons, and remain with you now and forevermore. Amen.